Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am deeply grateful to be with you on this 11th day of July, 2021. It's hot, huh? Anyway, I'm grateful to be with you as we take a look at one of the most interesting, intriguing, and necessary aspects of living, and that is learning to let go. How do we live in the impermanence of life, which is what we are involved in, whether we like it or not? Nothing stays the same. Everything is changing. Is it changing for the better? Well, society has always been what it is, okay? And it's not changed over thousands of years. We're all about survival of the fittest, that kind of thing. So we live in that kind of bureaucracy of it all, but it is to live in the craziness of society where I feel like half the time I'm in high school. So when you start looking at the whole effort of what it means to live and seeing the changes that are going on, constantly going on, we look at that and we say, well, do I relate to that or not? And there are certain things about ourselves that we need to let go of, and we cling to aspects of ourselves that create society, such things as competition, fear, hatred, anger, bias, human bias, that's a huge one. And all these things do we live by and create our society. We even try to create culture from all of that. And our culture has changed because it's about anger, and it's about frustration, and it's about inequality. It's all about fear, lack of survival, what people often call lack of respect. All of that is going on constantly in our lives, and we just keep it going, keep it going, keep it going. And we miss, we don't have the significance of our life, and it's hard for us to stay awake, you know, unless we're constantly being entertained and constantly being prodded by fear or hatred. We just don't stay awake very long. We just don't live very long. We don't live in consciousness. We're not interested in consciousness. So we go on and on and on and on in all of this, and it leads to all sorts of ugly things in our life that create indifference towards love. And to me, that is the big one. So we're going to talk a little bit about let go, and hopefully I will be able to remind you of some things that many of you think you know, and maybe point out some things that some of you have never been exposed to. Let's take a look. The first question comes from Tracy. Does not tell me where Tracy lives. What should we let go of to help ourselves? I was having dinner the other night with a friend of mine, and he was going on and on and on about trying to make the world a better place and all of that. I went through all of that in my 20s and 30s, and I understood. I did, and I do now what he wants to do and how he sees it happening. But the sense of the evil stain of life, the human stain that lives within all of us as the predatory factor of our daily living, predatory by meaning that we live in the guile of our humanness, our human fear, our human anger. Some people are very smart, and they can manipulate and think of ways to say and do things that are highly contagious to those who are prone to hatred anyway. So this kind of goes on and on and on in our lifetime, and we begin to really realize as we do this what we are doing, not only to others, but ourselves. So letting go of the things, we were sitting there talking, and I said, he kept pressing me and pressing me about what needs to change. And I looked at him finally after the end of dinner, and I had paid the bill, so I could say this without regret. I said, you have to give up wanting there to be more of a change in the society than the society is willing to change. And he just couldn't understand that. And I knew he couldn't, so that's why I paid the bill, because I knew, you know, he would be terribly resentful of the whole thing, being humiliated there at dinner with me, and then at the same time having to pay the bill. I probably would have been good for him, but I let him off the hook on that one. What should we let go of? Okay, I'll give it to you. You asked. You know, as Jesus said, your greatest enemy are those of your own household. You'd have to let go of the preeminence of importance of your family. You'd have to let go of your emotional attachment to that whole regime of family. This is not to say you wouldn't love them, you wouldn't be with them. You just wouldn't depend upon them for your identity, your sense of pride, your sense of arrogance, your sense of belonging. You need to belong to the heart, the authentic heart, not the human heart. It is really letting go of the human heart. Once you let go of the human heart and you really see the issues that the human heart brings to your life, your livingness, it isn't life and all of that other stuff that people will tell you. The thing that brings about the most pain and sorrow, the most retarded karma that we can come up with in our life and live out, which most of us do, it has to do with the human heart and what it grieves about, what it covets, and what it likes and dislikes. It's bias. And as long as I am living in that kind of bias, that kind of meaninglessness, that kind of hatred, hate comes from the human heart. And what you think of as love comes from the human heart. That's what it's all about. Human heart, human heart, human heart. Now, are you going to give that up, Tracy? I don't think so. I don't think anybody is going to give those things up. And why? Well, there are lots of reasons why. But the main reason is basically that it's all you've got. Because you didn't cultivate a spiritual awakening. You didn't cultivate love inside you, authentic love. You didn't cultivate consciousness. I'm in the midst of this year of presenting to my students consciousness. It's called Christ consciousness. Christ being not Jesus, but that of the awakened one, the divine one that lives inside each and every person on this planet. We all have it, but we ignore it for the sake of, well, our human heart. The human stain, as I call it. And the worst things come out of the passions of the human stain. War, poverty, hatred, revenge, things like that. These are all things that bring about a great deal of hatred. And when a person has the light shined on them, let's say in one of my retreats where I do a gestalt, that is really annoying to the human heart. The human heart lives off of it's a parasite, off of your energies. And then it converts your energies into the human stain of resentment and fear and anger and self-righteousness and pride and vanity. And oh, I could go on and on. But that's why we struggle in this world, because we live in that genre, that whole idea of living for what we can get and not awakening to who we are. We just don't get it, and we don't know anymore who we are. So there you are. What should you let go of? your human heart and all the desires of it and all the things that it romanticizes for you and all the things it tells you is right and bias and all that other great stuff that most people like to get involved in. The more you're immersed in your humanness, your human heart, the more you will find that you're biased, prejudiced, angry, hostile, towards anything that is new and different. You will only be looking at the things that you think benefit you. And that's another big one. Anything that benefits me in the world probably will have something to do with human desire. And that will probably bring you into a very difficult situation, spiritually speaking, because we're addicted to our passions, our emotions. We are totally addicted. There's a great difference between doing something loving and kind out of compassion and forgiveness than that of doing something for the sake of thinking I'm helping other people and subtly living my life out in the subtleness, but the presence of the unconscious mind, which tears apart everything that is meaningful in the course of the development of a human being towards love. So, there you are. You asked, Tracy, I understand my answers are not always, never what people really want to hear, but they are, in fact, the truth. And they are what I have found in my life, and others who have worked on themselves as I have found as well. Step away from your emotions. Just step away. You don't have to hate them. You don't have to like them. You don't have to dislike them. Step away. Very important. Tracy, thank you for your question. Please forgive me. This next question comes from Francine. She does not tell me where she lives either. How do I let go of the things I really love, Francine? Well, Francine, you gave me a list, and they were all about people, and they were all about your romantic fantasies, and they were all about your beliefs. So you answered your own question. The real question is, why have you waited so long to do it? Why wouldn't you have done it in the course of your lifetime? She states that she's 60 years old. And what were you waiting for? I think people are waiting for some kind of happening in their life that's going to mysteriously and magically give them everything they ever wanted in their living. I think that people pray for miracles. And a miracle to a person is that they can live as a spiritual putz for most of their life and then have wonderful things happen to them. And they don't really have to discipline themselves or work upon themselves at all. They don't have to step beyond the norm of their life, the norm of their living. I've had lots of people come to me, alcoholics. I've had people who were in AA and all of that. None of them make a very good student because most of them live in accordance with these little beliefs that they have and little idioms that they were taught in AA, and somehow they think this is an intellectual process. And what I have found that many alcoholics, and I've been married to a couple, so I really know what it's all about. You really have to look at it and think to yourself, what am I doing? What is this really all about? Is life intellectual? Is this an intellectual process we're in? It is not an intellectual process. Now, I think a lot of people spend a great deal of time in their intellect. I think they spend a great deal of time in their smarts, as I like to call it. People are smart. There's a lot of smart people, smarter than me. So, you know, you look at it, you look at the way they live their life and how they outsmart themselves, and they don't have any sense of what the gravitas and the meaning of their lifetime is. Most people don't treasure their life. They just look at it and think, well, I'll just live this and see what happens, where it leads me. Well, I can tell you where it's going to lead you. It's going to lead you to the place where you're most indifferent and inept, and that is your spiritual life. You missed it. You missed the whole spiritual life, as I talked about in the last radio programs. People miss. They don't see what they're here for. They don't care what they're here for. And even when they're told what they're here for, they don't want to hear it. They don't want to believe it. They don't want, no. It's got to be about fun. It's got to be about having fun and having one pleasure after another in the course of a day. That's what they want to see. That's the way they imagine their living, is one thing after another, one happy, wonderful thing after another happy, wonderful thing, that kind of deal. And that's the way people live. And as long as I live in that way, I'm going to miss compassion. I'm going to miss the meaning of life. I'm going to miss everything that is, well, love. And we're not interested in authentic love. We're only interested in human heart love. And we want to be loved. I have women that come to me from time to time, and they say things like, I want to be in love, or I want to be in love again. I had a 60-year-old woman say to me in a session recently, I just want to be in love. That's what my life is all about. Really? Really, that's what your life is all about, just to, quote-unquote, be in love? That's ridiculous, absolutely absurd. Love is everywhere, and if you can't be, quote-unquote, in love with love itself, not yourself, but in love with love itself, you will never know yourself. You will never realize yourself. We are indifferent to our spirituality. We're indifferent to love. So, you know, how do you let go? You have to see things for the way they are inside you. And then instead of fighting with those things, instead of arguing with those things, instead of denying those things, it is about acceptance of those things. You have to let love live you. And that is very difficult for the pedestrian mentality, who lets anger and fear and hate motivate them, live them. So you're in a catch-22. Nothing is going to change until you let go. And what does that mean? Well, how do I let go? You're going to have to let go of all the things that keep you occupied, that make you feel that you're loved, you're cared for, you're occupied. You're going to have to sit quietly within and realize the facts of life, of this world, I should really say. And that is that nobody likes you anyway. And no matter what you do, you can't please people. Nothing good ever lasts long in this world. You can't teach a pig to sing, waste your time and annoys the pig. And no good deed ever goes unpunished here. You have to see the futility of the world. If you don't see it, you'll keep sucking off that tit, and that will be your whole life. You will just nurse off of fear and hate and anger, and let that be the premise of your daily living. You have to sacrifice what you think is so precious to your ego, so precious to what it is that makes up your persona. And until I am willing to let go of those things, nothing of the goodness of life will ever touch our living. We will miss our entire existence here on earth, and our livingness will be lost to obsession and compulsion and the infiltration of the influence of impulsing our genetics and our DNA into our life. It can be very daunting, but you know, you're not going to change because fear has taken over. So Francine, if you're really going to do this, it means you've got to go into solitude. You're going to have to live simple, live in solitude, and find your silence. Those three things. It's a discipline that most people just won't and many can't do. That is the truth. Please forgive me. Namaste. Boy, this is so uplifting, isn't it? Last question. It comes from Lori. Lori does not tell me where she lives. Is let go possible when one is old? Well, Lori, I would think that I'm 70. And I would think that after many, many years of living, and you're maybe as old as I am, you would look back at your life and go, wow, that was stupid that I did. That was stupid that I did. That was uncaring. That was unkind. That was unforgiving. You know, you'd start looking at all the things you did and the circumstances that you got yourself into and think to yourself, it is time for me to let go of all of that. Instead of mourning the idea of being old, you'd have to look at your life as an example of what it meant to just live balls to the wall emotionally. And if that's the way you want to live, and that's the way you exist on this planet, and that's the way you probably did live and exist on the planet, then such is the case of your life. Now you understand why things are the way they are in your life. You're not being punished. You want to let go of all those little things that you thought were so important. I don't know what they were for you, but for most of us, it has to do with reassurance of our ego, our low self-esteem, our feelings of inadequacies. You have to let those go and see them for what they were. They were an attempt by your ego to be of self-importance. When you no longer need to be important, when you no longer need the respect of other people to have respect for yourself, that is an accomplishment. Now you're on the way. Now you're really doing something meaningful. That can make a difference. But boy, that leaks into every aspect of your life. Think of how many things you do in the course of your day just to get the adoration and the respect of other people. People will say, well, I'm doing what's right. Are you doing what's right, or what will get you respect, or what will get you adoration? You have to decide what that's all about for you. And if you're doing those things, if you incorporate that kind of psychology into your life, what can I say? It will be ugly and forever ugly. So the whole effort of a spiritual awakening is to come to some place where love can reach you. Now, you've got to find in that let go where love can reach you, authentic love. It will reach you through openness, obviously, but not through your emotionality, but through your forgiveness in how we give. The most important things to give is our attention, our willingness to forgive, and to live in the essence of compassion for other people. If you have that, not sympathy, compassion. If you have any of that left in you after all the years you've lived in the way you've lived, then you have achieved a great deal. And that in itself should be enough to take you over the top. You're going to have to work on yourself. You're going to have to constantly watch how Lori works, how she lives. You're going to have to see her as a separate entity unto yourself and realize that there is something more beautiful within you than her needs and wants and compulsions. I gotta go. Oh, it happens so fast for me. Anyway, I hope that helped you. Thank you for your beautiful questions. Thank you all for your beautiful questions. I'll be back on the air next week. I hope this helped you in some way. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.